Time to say hello to Wayne Cleveland with the Texas Grain Sorghum Producers, Executive Director, back from his trip to China. How'd that go, Wayne?
Man, I tell you what, I'm still recovering from it, Todd. The older I get, the harder it is to recover.
Yeah, I bet you have some cowboy coffee and you'll be ready to go.
Yeah, it is kind of funny how you lean into that. You know, Chinese tea just doesn't quite do it for me, and so I end up taking little packets of espresso over there because the coffee's not too good. But, you know, the problem's always 2 o'clock in the morning, man. Just 2 o'clock, you're just wide awake for about 10 days afterwards. And it gets a little old in my world trying to reconcile, you know, where I am and what time it is.
Well, you got a good excuse for a week or two, maybe.
Yeah, it is. You know, jet lag's just a funny thing. And then somebody recommended melatonin. You'd think for a guy that's been traveling for 30 years, but, you know, 24 of that international, pretty hard, you know, and you kind of hear everybody talk about, oh, take flashlights behind your leg, which I think is really odd, which I think would be more annoying than jet lag, you know, just get up and all kinds of things and when to drink water and all of this. And then this guy goes, man, just take some melatonin. So I took some melatonin and man, I slept all night the first night. And then again, the second night, I slept all night. And I thought, with my addictive personality, you probably better cut that out and quit taking it. You know, it's not a bad, there's nothing wrong with it. I think it's actually pretty natural. But third night, woke up at 1:30, come downstairs, you know, go to work like it's just, you know, regular. And, you know, I think everybody else is kind of the same way, being turned upside down. But it was really a very interesting trip because it was right after Trump's summit with Xi Jinping. You know, I think they discussed a lot of different things, but probably what didn't get, you know, reconciled was the tariffs on agricultural products. And that really was, you know, is on everybody's mind. I mean, of course, if you farm, it is. And I think everybody thought that there would be some kind of agreement on what those tariffs were, and there wasn't. And, you know, for ag, it's pretty devastating. And then, you know, later in the process, you know, maybe a couple of days afterwards, we find kind of that it's going to be to the Board of Trade that will be established that'll look at all tariffs across the board for all commodities and all products for that matter, which, you know, that's fine, you know, and I'm kind of on the pro camp on all of this, but, you know, we need some relief, you know, pretty quick. And when you go and you see the potential market that's there, the market that's been there, you know, and you're 100% sure that if that market opens up and tariffs go back to the way they were in 2017, which was kind of the last normal year we had with China, and visiting with every customer we have there for the most part, like 90% of our grain sale customers were in a meeting, and you realize that, man, this is a big market for grain sorghum producers in the United States. And it's a little overwhelming. It's kind of, you know, where do you start to explain that? And I'll just start with the fact that China is out of grain sorghum, and they're buying grain sorghum basically anywhere they can in the world. They've landed in Australia, who produces around 3 million metric tons, which is, you know, last year about a third of what the United States produced. It was not a good quality grain. They had some drought. They had some low test weights. They had some other quality problems, yet China's still buying it, and they're paying $9 a bushel for Australian, I think I say fur, like an animal fur, but I'm trying to say four. But they're paying $9 a bushel for Australian sorghum, which is around $360 a metric ton. And, you know, I think that lands probably the punch that I want it to and the potential that's out there. The fact that they don't really have any grain sorghum in stocks, you know, and then I'll just start with the first trip. What we usually do is we fly into Beijing. We meet with the ag trade officer, the ATO. Sometimes we meet with an ambassador. We meet with various staff. And then from there, we meet with some Beijing folks. We go to Shanghai. Lots of Baijiu people there. And we go down to Xiamen, which is in the southeast part of the country, and then we swing over to Guangzhou, which is down by Hong Kong, which is where all the big buyers are. Junji, Four Gardeners, Xiamen. And this year it was different. We flew into Shanghai, and on Sunday we went and called on a Baijiu plant, and they gave us a presentation, which is a little unusual, basically saying, we're out of grain sorghum. We want to buy your grain sorghum. How do we buy your grain sorghum now? And we had guys, a couple of guys that can sell, and it really just kind of took them by the shock. Usually our Baijiu tours are more informational, and they had this whole presentation. And basically, the end of the presentation said, we're going to buy grain sorghum as soon as we can. And I'm just kind of paraphrasing what happens. I don't think I'm overselling this because I've talked to the other people that have been on the trip. We stayed, we drank Baijiu. I took a bullet to the team on that. I'm not a Baijiu fan, but when you host a tour, you're sat at the right hand of the head guy, and then you just end up drinking a lot of Baijiu. Maybe I should get some combat pay tied. But then we had on Monday, we had our meeting, and every buyer in China came to our meeting. They took the time to leave Guangzhou, Xiamen, and to come to Shanghai for our meeting, and it was everybody in there that was a big buyer, and that's unusual because I usually have to go see them. So imagine every one of your customers there at KEHN come into your place saying, "How do we buy ads?" And that's basically what was going on. And from there, we went out to some of the bigger buyers. So COFCO's a state-run agency in China. That's bought most of the grain sorghum this year. I think they bought all the grain sorghum this year, 3.5 million metric tons, which under probably the most stressful conditions possible, they're still buying. And, you know, the big fear is, does the price change when we get on the water, when we get a boat full? And going back to 2018, kind of at the peak moment of sales to grain to China, it was selling for $3.20 a metric ton, which today it's $3.60, so it's 10-15% higher. So, you know, going out, and these guys are doing presentations, and this one guy does a presentation on the economy in China, and then he starts talking about Chinese production and how they can't address their production issues, that their production costs. And I never thought of agricultural production cost in China until he mentioned it, and then I realized, and he says that some of these guys are paying $700 an acre rent on land, and the average farm is 2 hectares, which is around 5 acres. So imagine having 5 acres and paying, you know, let's just say $30,000 in rent, and you know, it never dawned on me that they have the input cost, and he said it's becoming prohibitive to grow. And, you know, we're seeing the same thing here to an extent. You know, I think some of the highest land rent in the United States is in the Midwest, around $350 an acre. And this guy's talking about up to $700 an acre in some of these rich soil regions. So it was extremely eye-opening. It was frustrating, you know, to no degree, because we've been in this for over a year, that we have sorghum, we need to sell it. Our guys need premium for some product. It could easily be sorghum by now, and as government work goes, we're gonna end up waiting, you know, I don't know how long to get the Board of Trade established. Who's on that? Are we able to get somebody on there to plead our case? you know, because the market's there, our guys need to sell. We have a big crop in the valley. We have a big crop in the coast. You know, thank goodness we have ethanol back on the High Plains. We're visiting with Stephanie Davis there in Lowland. They're going to be one of the biggest buyers of grain sorghum up there this year. So we have a lot of good things going on, but competition in the market's always good. China's there. Not so certain on India. I think it needs a lot of work, but you know, ethanol's there, and you know, as I pointed out to these guys, we're losing sorghum acres to a competitive market. We're not losing sorghum acres because it doesn't produce. We're not losing sorghum acres for any other reason than we have dairy on the High Plains, and now we've got ethanol and dairy and the feeders. And if we bring China back, you'll see probably one of the most competitive markets you've ever seen for grain sorghum on the High Plains, as well as Texas and probably in the United States, because there's just a high demand. The production numbers are down because we've put 600,000 or 700,000 acres into silage on the High Plains, which absolutely works for growers. So I think for the first time in a long time, you're seeing this very organic market that's developing for grain sorghum. The last puzzle piece is China. You know, I think you see some people from the High Plains calling South Texas to see if they can buy their grain sorghum. Which is highly unusual. So, you know, kind of seeing a really good scenario. And the linchpin here, per se, is we just need China back in the market. And the Costco buyer, kind of coming up on the close here, just looked me in the eyes and he said, Wayne, if this market opens, he goes, I will buy every ton of sorghum in the United States. And he said, you can count on that. And, you know, I've made sure the other guys in the group heard that, you know, very positive message to bring back. They want to buy it. They're willing to pay for it. You know, it's not going to be the 360 they're paying Australia, and that's kind of dreadful. They'll be able to sit it out a little bit, but the price is going to be pretty good. We get our cost down to ship it across the pond, per se. I guess pond would refer to the Atlantic, but to ship it across the Pacific, it's gone from $40 to $65, so there's a little issue there. But, you know, once we get some of these things snapped into place, get our oil prices down a little bit, get this board of trade established, I think you're going to see some pretty robust markets for grain sorghum. And, you know, I'll finish with that's not marketing advice. If you take marketing advice from me, you're in really bad shape, because if I knew what I was talking about, I wouldn't be sitting here. I'd be trading the board this morning. But, you know, all things are look positive. They look good for grain sorghum. Again, we have those markets back. We have the dairy buying silage. We have ethanol buying grain. You know, we have the feeders buying grain. So if we get China back in there, this could be a pretty good year for grain sorghum, Todd.
Good news while you were gone. Picked up 2 to 3 inches of rain around here. So go back to China for another week, Wayne.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I've got this wonderful app called Raindrop, and, you know, we picked up about 1.5 inches there at the ranch, which we really, really needed on top of our grass we just seeded. So I think everybody's in good shape. The guys from the valley and the coast with me, they caught anywhere from 3 inches to 8 inches, which is a lot, but they, you know, they absolutely can use it now, and nothing's been desiccated, so the plant's still absorbing it. So, you know, we're in a good situation south, and I think that always spreads to the north. So encourage growers to hang in there, and you know, it's going to rain eventually.
Get some rest, Wayne. Give out your contact for Texas Grain Sorghum Producers.
Yes, sir. I'll be here all day. My number is 254-541-5375. Y'all have a great weekend, Todd.